5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. It was March 11th that the NBA suspended their season, and today is March 30th. That's 19 days without sports. The longest I've ever gone in my life. It is for the greater good, but man, this is not fun. I hope you've all been doing the best you can with social distancing and quarantine. It is the right choice, and I hope you are all following the guidelines set out by the experts. I'm not making any political commentaries here when I say trust the experts. Ignore the fluff, pageantry, and politicizing. Focus on the medical experts and the scientists. Moving right along, we're trying to stay focused on things you can be doing to advance yourself during this time of chaos. We are ramping up our content, as a lot of you know. On Mondays, we'll do our standard answer a fan question episode, like I'm doing right at this moment. On Wednesdays, we'll have our expert interview. These are all very standard. This is what we do. But then we're adding a Friday edition, which will be a lot more timely. It will either be a piece of advice relevant to our current world situation, or will be a timely guest. So far, we've had special guests, including Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sports Institute, where we projected out what the global pandemic is going to do to the sports industry moving forward and in years to come. I've done an episode specifically on networking during the global pandemic. And just this past Friday, I had on Greg Hilton, who is the VP of Premium Seating with the NFL's Indianapolis Colts. I have to tell you, Greg is now one of my new favorite interviews. You just get a vibe when you're talking to some people. And Greg, I thought, really was extremely transparent and honest and raw. And I hope you've all have listened to the episode or will go back and listen to it today. Why am I so into this episode? Well, Greg works in the NFL, which is the one league that has a season ahead. So his perspective is a little unique right now. And I like the business is still operating. I like to know that that's happening. He also really knows the importance of revenue generating roles and how they will be in great demand when we come out of this. So we talk a lot about sales roles and what they can mean for everybody's future and how high of demand that they are going to be in. And we talk about the smaller leagues, if they can survive this, the strategy teams may use to make up the revenue shortfall, how attending games may have to change, and a lot more. It's really timely and interesting. And Greg is a very knowledgeable guy. He's been with the Colts for 28 years, so it's pretty impressive. And has a great foundation in this industry. So let's move ahead to today. Today, we're going to handle what has become a very, very common question. I've received this question in various formats about 1,000 times now, and it's a good question, and I appreciate it, and I'm going to continue to do this. But here it is, paraphrased form. Hey, Brian, what can I be doing right now to advance my career prospects? I've answered this question a lot, and I will continue to. I've talked about networking. I've talked about learning the skill that you don't have. I've talked about online courses and training, especially in sales, because that's where the demand will be. But today, I want to talk about something that is, I don't know, less enthusiastic. You're not going to hear it and say, oh, goody, I can't wait to do that. But it's super, super important. It's conducting a self-audit. I know, it sounds awful, self-audit. It sounds like a root canal. I need to come up with some better branding for this, but it's important. It's a self-analysis, okay? No one out there is able to analyze you and your shortcomings better than you are, okay? I can't tell you where you don't match up. I can't tell you where you're weak in your mind. I can't tell you certain things that you're not doing. Nobody can. You have to do this work. So I'm going to break it down into four steps that I think will really help you during this period of time where you can do these things to help you get a deeper and better understanding of your world, your where you're set up to succeed and fail, and where you need help. So step one is the heat check. Okay, this is one of my absolute favorite concepts in career development. I started sharing this a year or two ago, and I think it's probably one of the most important things anybody can do at any point of their career and should do often. Okay, so I like to call it a heat check. Why a heat check? What is that? What the heck does that mean? Well, if you think about the NBA in particular, really great players get in a zone sometimes where they can just do anything. You know, they can do fancy moves, throw it up from three quarters court, and it feels like the basket is huge and they can hit it from anywhere. So when a player like Steph Curry gets barely across half court and fires up a shot and feels like it has every chance of going in, that's a heat check moment. They're saying to themselves, I'm unstoppable right now, and I'm just testing the water here to see just how hot I am. And when they hit that shot, when they hit that crazy shot, they know nobody's stopping them. And so I like to call this next step the heat check, because once you do these things, once you do this process, you become unstoppable. I believe that wholeheartedly. So let's get into what this means. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to go through workinsports.com. We're the leading job board for the sports industry, and we're a great tool for not just finding jobs, but also researching them. So you go to a site like ours, okay, and pull up 10 to 15 jobs that interest you. Now, the majority of you that I talk to may be in college and you're looking for entry level roles, and you're maybe not exactly sure what you want to do. But then this also applies for people who are mid-level or even heading to executive level. You look at jobs that are your step you'd like to take, right? So if you're in college and you're looking at entry level jobs, find a 10 to 15 that look interesting to you. They may all be connected to marketing, or they may all be connected to sales, or they may all be connected to operations or whatever, or they could be a myriad of different types of jobs. That's fine. You're discovering yourself a little bit too. So pull up these 10 to 15 jobs, okay, and start reading through the job descriptions. Now, in the job descriptions, these companies are telling you, it's like an open book test. They're telling you exactly what they want. And this is really important, too, if you're in the middle part of your career, you're looking for your next job, or you're in the middle of your career and you're looking for your executive level job. These jobs are still posted out there and they're telling you, okay, this is what we need from somebody to go from being an entry level everyday contributor to being more of a manager or a director, right? Or a VP. These are the expectations we have. So what I want you to do is you go through these 10 or 15 jobs that you pull apart, that you set as different tabs on your screen or whatever, read through each one and have a separate spreadsheet open and write down in a column all of the skills that they're demanding for the roles. So you go through 10 or 15 jobs and you pull out everything they're saying that they want, all the requirements of the job, what they are looking for when they hire, because they all say it in the job. This is what we want, right? Read between the lines a little bit. Try to understand what they're getting at. Some of them will be soft skills like teamwork and leadership or whatever, but others will be very tactical things. They'll be very like Photoshop or CMS or, you know, certain software programs or whatever it may be. Right? Photoshop. I think I already said that. That's the second time I said Photoshop. Doesn't matter. Okay. But they're going to be very tactical things. Final Cut Pro. That's a better example. Anyway, they're going to give you a list of skills that they want. So you're going to write all of them down. So you're doing this for 10 to 15 jobs. You're going to then have a list of, I don't know, 25, 30 skills maybe that are in demand. Some will be mentioned multiple times. Put those towards the top. Try to scale your list based on importance, right? So if something gets mentioned on all 10 or 15 jobs, we'll put that at the top, right? Start to weigh your list. And then the next column over, all I want you to do is put in your level of comfort with this skill. Right. And your ability to prove it. So there's kind of two things here. If it's something, we'll use the Photoshop example since I keep using this. Well, let's say that you have a rudimentary knowledge of Photoshop. Well, then say that, right? You also put in that column like basic, maybe use the term basic or moderate or expert, right? And do that for each one of these skills. And if you have nothing, none of the skill, leave it blank. Right? If it's like Salesforce, well, I've never used Salesforce before. I value its importance. I understand it's important. I see it on all these jobs, but I don't know anything about it. Leave it blank. Okay. So now as you start to look, you can say on your sheet that you've just created, you know exactly what is in demand for the marketplace. You are staying up to date on emerging trends too, because a job posted 4 years ago might not have mentioned Snapchat. But a job posted now might. So if you do this, and as often as you do it, you're going to keep updating this list based on what's new and in demand for the marketplace. And you're evaluating your skills against it. Now, as you look at your list, you know what's in demand and you know what skills you have or don't have. That is your game plan. Now you know what you need to learn. Now you know what you need to make sure is covered in an internship or in a volunteer opportunity. Every decision you make from this point out goes towards filling those gaps or improving in a certain area that is in high demand. If something's mentioned in 10 different jobs that you look at as a skill that is in demand and you don't have it, that's telling you right now that you would not stand out if you're applying for these jobs. So here's your opportunity to make the plan. And I'm telling you, if I was mid-level, okay, so let's say I worked for 7 years at CNN Sports Illustrated, and I went from being a production assistant all the way to being a coordinating producer. Or no, I think I was just, actually, I think my final title was just producer, line producer. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the next level of job that I wanted to get when I was, if I was going to leave, would have been in like a news director type range. I wanted to run an entire department. And if I started looking at those job descriptions, I would have seen things like budgeting, hiring, firing, scheduling, all those sort of things that go into being leading an entire team. And I would have known like, okay, I don't have any experience with budgeting. I better learn. All right, I better get better at it, being a master of Excel spreadsheets or whatever. And I could have learned those skills to make myself more prepared for that next step. So it doesn't matter where you are in your career, you can do a heat check. And matter of fact, I would say you should do it every 6 months. If you're like in the job hunt, do it often. If you're in college, do it every 6 months. So you're kind of up to date on where you stand and keep updating your list and what's on demand in the marketplace. And if you're not in the job market, but you know you might be in a couple of years, like maybe do it every year or something just to keep checking in, making sure you understand where your skills align with the industry. Keep yourself focused. Now is a really great time. You have the time to step back and say, where am I strong and where am I weak? And then make a plan to do something about it. Watch YouTube videos, take an online course. The options are out there. Feel very strongly about the heat check, people. You got to do it. Okay, step number two in your self-audit. This is the time for resume review, okay? I wrote my last resume like 3 years ago. If I went and looked at it right now, I'd be like, ooh, crud, I am not ready to look for a job. I haven't updated anything. I haven't added any new numbers. I haven't done anything. I haven't checked to see what's popular as far as resume formatting or how applicant tracking systems are reviewing certain formats or handling different procedures or whatever it may be. Not that I'm in the job look, but I'm just saying like, if I wanted to get out there, I wouldn't be prepared. So this is a really good time for you to take a step back with the time that you have and say, okay, where is my resume? How does it look? And do I have enough in there? Now, what I'm going to tell you, and I think is really important, I've covered this many times before, is that metrics are the most important thing you can have on your resume. Every job that you have, you should have at least one data point in your bullet point. So if like you have a job, like I worked at CNN Sports Illustrated and I worked at Fox Sports Northwest and I worked at Work in Sports, every one of those is like a section of my resume. And let's say I had 4 or 5 bullet points for each. I don't know. I'm not looking at my resume right now, but let's say I had 4 or 5. Well, at least 1 to 2 to 3 of them should have some data reference in there. So increased revenue 25% year over year, or, you know, increased retention or email open rates or reduced expenses or changed Twitter, increased Twitter followers by X percentage or whatever it may be. Show me some action terms. Now, what I'll tell you is the most important phase for you whenever you start a new job or to start an internship is to establish baselines, you know, or at least to know where the research is where you can access it later. If you establish baselines, then you can give yourself data points later on. So when you're first starting an internship or a job, make sure to take down some data points so that you can say, hey, you know, on your resume, I increased us by X percentage since I started. You have to have a baseline in order to do that, or you have to know where the research lies within your company so that you can go back and look at it. But these are important steps to think and to frame your mind towards your future. That's what your resume should be, is a collection of what you've done. And the only way to project yourself out to the future is to kind of be ahead of that. I think everybody personally should scrap the whole mission statement at the top. You know, a lot of people do these mission statements, which are basically an expression of what you want for yourself. And organizations want to know what you can do for them. So just scrap it. It's kind of filler. It's usually very weak sentences. It doesn't give me any more insight into you as a person or what you can do. Your resume is going to be the facts about you. What have you done? Prove it to me. Where have you been? what times, all those data points, right? This is like your list of data about yourself and otherwise. Your cover letter is your step number three. Now, before I get into that, I just want to finish up the concept on resume review. There are a lot of companies out there that do resume reviews. Some are really, really, really good. I think these are worthwhile investments. We have one through our site with Top Resume, where they'll do a free review of your resume. And I'm telling you, these are worthwhile to do. Like, they'll give you a review, and then they have some paid products too. I'm not going to say that it's completely free. But I think it's like, I always cite Don Costante, who was a guest on our podcast, and he said, and this rings in my ears all the time, he's like, your resume is the most important document you'll ever create. And it's really true, because it's the linchpin to you getting hired for jobs. So why wouldn't you invest a little bit in that? So do your own work to improve your resume now, but also don't be afraid to look to the professionals. Okay, let's get to step number three, the cover letter. This is where I feel like another part of your self audit. Right? We're going through all your materials, your skill set, your resume, your cover letter. These are important parts of how you present yourself or whether you're even worthy for a job. Okay, the cover letter. Most people, and I'll make this quick, most people mess this up. Most people view their cover letter as a way to put their resume in paragraph form. And that is a huge waste, okay? It's not just turn my resume into a paragraph of I was here and I did this and then I was there and I did that. It's like boring. I already know that, okay? Tell me a story about you. Tell me about a moment in time where you accomplished something special or you handled an objection or you've faced a challenge or you overcame a fear. Like, give me a little insight into you. Tell me a story. So I think everybody during this time should work on their cover letter and try to recount some stories that'll help them send a message of who they are in the cover letter. When I'm in charge of hiring, I want to start to understand who somebody is. And I think the cover letter is a tool that people should use to do that. I want to read something interesting about you, and I want to feel like I'm getting to know you. That's part of my process, because when I hire, I want somebody that fits in my culture. And if I can read something about you in the cover letter, I feel like I'm starting to get to know you. So it's a major part of your self-audit. Go through that now. Read all your cover letters, read your different versions, and see if you are prepared or you're doing it the right way. And step number four in our self-audit is, this is less self and more outward, but I think it's still really important, is the informational interview. Okay. A great way to learn about yourself is through the eyes of others and where they are and where they've been and how they got there. So let's say you wanted to work in college athletics. Now is a really great time to make a contact with somebody in college athletics doing something you want to do, and have an informational interview with them. And you can ask them questions about their career and how they got there, but you can also ask them about certain things you've done. Like, hey, if I was applying for a job, do you think it's more important to emphasize that I have knowledge in this or that I have experience doing that? You know, you can start to refine how you present yourself. You can even start to get questions answered from them. Like, hey, I was doing my heat check, and don't phrase it that, they might not know what you're talking about, but you could say, like, I looked at a lot of different job openings and it said that Photoshop was a really important skill that I should learn. Do you agree? You know, like, certain things you can start to have as far as a conversation with somebody that's out there in the world. You can ask them, like, when you were starting out, did you become a real finite master of certain skills, or were you more broad? You know, like, you get these answers from the people that are doing it day in and day out. And during this time where there's a dearth of activity and a lot of us are, you know, not working or have scaled back schedules, there is an opportunity to get a lot of these things done. So do your personal heat check, do your resume review, review your cover letter, and start to book some informational interviews. What I would say is set yourself a goal. Set yourself a goal to do 2 informational interviews a week. How awesome would that be, right? Start reaching out to people and say, during this time, I want to be as active as I can and keep learning and improving myself. I was wondering if I could get on a 15-minute phone conversation with you and ask a few questions. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to say yes to that. I've done a bunch over the last couple of weeks, and I'm fine to do it. I like doing it. I'm happy to do it. Not 1,000 a week, but, you know, I'll do a couple. So be nice in the way you ask. All right, people, just a little extra tips for what you can be doing right now to make yourself as productive as possible. I thank you all for listening and sticking with us. We've had a really great month as far as content goes. We actually had one of our best months ever for downloads. So I appreciate all of you coming here to learn as much as you can. And in respect for all of you, I am going to keep driving and pushing as much as I can to get cutting edge guests who will keep telling us about what the future holds for all of us, because I think a lot of us, we're just not sure. So we're all learning our way through this together. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll all be back to work soon.